Welcome to Stouts with My Spouse. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Patrick.
And this is Stouts with My Spouse. Let's get into it.
Welcome. Hello, hello. It's Friday evening. Patrick, what is on your docket this evening?
So this is a beer from the Grizzly Peak Brewing Company in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Not too far, and a nice little place. The name of this one is the Holy Rood Stout. It's a historical Scottish stout, and I am very excited to try this. I've tried a couple of their other beers from the Grizzly Peak, but I have not tried their stout, weirdly enough. I had one of their, what was it? It was like a ginger one that was really surprisingly good. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. I mean, we like ginger. I can look it up for you right now. I really like their, I enjoyed their margaritas, and I would buy a growler of their margaritas. Margaritas are something that are growing on me because they're not, like, if they're fresh juice, fresh triple sec, fresh, like, night, like, just plain tequila. I'm very used to the 7-Eleven version of margaritas that happen at a lot of chain restaurants, and they just taste like a lollipop, and you're like...
I mean, you made your own margarita not too long ago where you literally juiced your own...
Yeah, peeling a lime is really hard, ladies and gentlemen, in case you were wondering. But...
I've never tried to peel a lime.
It's tough. I'm here to tell you right now, the plight of lime peelers out there, I feel you.
So you can't just grind up the skin, too?
Well, you could, but I just didn't want to risk it, because we don't have, like, the top-of-the-line juicer. You know what I mean? What was I going to do? So I put in a mandarin orange and then a couple limes, because the mandarin orange gave it another, like, more juice, but it was so good. So you had the blah, blah... ginger beer.
Yeah, that was really it was like really surprisingly good to me. Like, I kind of wish that...
Why was that surprising to you?
That it was I don't know. I just at the time it was technically the second beer that I had tried, and it was kind of like the spur of the moment. Like, you look down at the drink menu and you kind of glance at the first one that looks like, oh hey, it's not something that I'll hate, and so I'll just get that. So that's kind of was that, but I have been curious about it before.
Yeah,
and I'm not the biggest, like, Moscow Mule. Like, that's not going to be, like, the first go-to, but it's definitely in the rotation, so...
I don't know if it's really in the rotation. I feel like the last time you ordered a Moscow Mule, we were dating... well, we're still dating, but I mean, before we were engaged and then married and such.
Well, I don't think I've ever really ordered it, but, your family likes having, like, Moscow Mules, so I'll have one then.
Yeah, I don't... They went through a phase.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
It's not bad, for sure.
So where's your first...
So my first sip of this... I'm still gauging it. It's
Did you... Oh, sorry. Did you have the Bear Paw Porter?
No, I did not have a porter. So this was the first... This was the first time I went into a brewery and did not necessarily feel like having a super dark beer.
Yeah.
Which was so weird. I mean, we talked about that. It's like, I just don't feel... I don't think that they had the stout on tap at the time. Or I just totally missed it.
Yeah, I think you probably missed it. But then I was like, we were leaving, and I was like, here, let's get a can.
Yeah, I just remember I wasn't feeling the porter, so I went with the lager, which was really good. But that the other one stuck out to me a lot.
Yeah, the Dunkel Lager, and then the ginger... Oh, it's not the blah blah ginger. It's the ginger rye. That's what it was. I remember you saying that. Mm-hmm. So it's sweet and spicy beer. I could see why you would like that, because you don't like anything too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
besides your wife.
You're spicy.
And sweet. It's true.
And bitter.
I'm sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour.
I am sweet and sour. Today was sour, but I'll try to make it rounded out with some sweet.
Definitely had some sweet.
Yeah.
Already. And there's potential for even more sweet.
That's right. The day's not over. So, I like this because it's a bigger can, and I feel like if you're going to a brewery and they're selling cans, I appreciate it when they have bigger, taller cans.
16 fluid ounces.
Yeah. I don't like the shorter cans. For some reason, I feel like if I'm drinking a craft, I feel like the shorter cans are for Bud Light or whatever, Miller Lite, whatever.
No.
This is like a craft. We're not a Miller Lite household. I just don't regularly drink beer, but if I drank a light beer, it would be Bud Light. Because, fun fact, Bud Light doesn't give me the runs.
And one of the reasons why I have Miller Lite at the house, because it's all mine.
So, my chair squeaked. So, for this week's topics, first week into year 30 of life, feeling pretty good. The weather, we're so boring, the weather. The weather was kind of crappy, and so we had just thought we dipped our toes into spring, but then the weather was horrible, and my sinuses, your sinuses, were out of control. I already have a nasally voice and, like, a vocal fry voice, but when I know my sinuses are bad when I can feel the nasal pronunciation and I can feel the vocal fry coming off of my voice.
Well, when you emphasize
it. Well, yeah. And that's how I know my sinuses are extra bad. Yeah. So,
like we planted our garden and then it snowed.
Well, we blanketed them. We blanketed it's okay. So we planted berries, and it's my dream to one day bake with berries because we don't like desserts with berries baked in them, but it would be nice to say that we did. I don't know. Like, it'd be cool to be like, hey, I made this tart with the the bushes in our front lawn.
We got a blueberry bush, right?
Blueberry bush, strawberry. We're doing a pumpkin patch in the backyard where...
Oh.
We're doing lettuce and...
Lettuce, a little thing of lettuce poked through today.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Celery, and then some corn. Fun fact, celery juice, when I have time to juice and goose it...
Is your favorite.
It's not my favorite because of the taste, but it's my favorite because it works just as good as Claritin for me and my bod.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that clears up my nasal passages.
You've thrown, like, celery, and then I've seen you, like, throw in an orange, too. What's that taste like?
It just tastes like the orange, because celery is such a underwhelming taste. And it's very easily overpowered by the orange taste. So, I don't know. It really works for me when I'm in the schedule. So, breaking, the Lions are currently on the board in the NFL draft.
On
the first round pick, they drafted an offensive tackle, which is a good thing because our offensive line is lacking.
Exactly what I wanted. I thought that Cincinnati was going to pick them, but...
My dad is a Cincinnati fan. He's very excited about them drafting the receiver from LSU. I do not know the young lad's name.
Ja'Marr Chase. And literally what I wanted, if Cincinnati picked up Penei Sewells, then I wanted Ja'Marr Chase.
Penei Sewells is a dope name. Is that how you say his name, Penny?
I have no idea.
Or is it Penei?
Probably.
But still, either way, dope name.
And he looks like a dope dude. He can move. He's like 330 pounds, and he can prance around like a butterfly.
Yeah. You know, some people are really gifted with the gifts in life. The Rock is one of those people. Kevin Hart, even though people find him controversial, one of those people. They just seem gifted and motivated and able to make a lot of money. So, cheers to you, young Mr. Swells, and wish you the well. I'm sure he's heard that a few times.
And we wish whoever gets picked here in a second.
Okay, Patrick will probably, if he doesn't like it, he will be verbally aggressive randomly while I'm talking about something. And he really isn't paying attention to me. Potentially is paying attention to me.
I'm not paying attention. I'm just occasionally refreshing.
So, basically, when I was thinking about what to tell you about today, I've been listening to a lot of lawyer YouTubers reviewing pop culture cases, and I listen to, so what I am doing is summarizing in non-legal terms and with a very limited understanding, so none of, like, I am not a journalist. This is a informal. This is an informal. So, one is a review of the objection that Lynn Spears, who is Jamie Spears' ex-wife and Britney Spears' mother. So Jamie Spears is the conservator over Britney Spears' estate and not person. She has a court-appointed conservator over her person, right?
So, listen,
she has two, the conservatorship, one is financial, and then one is over the person. The dad used to be both, but now he's just over the finances and the estate of Britney Spears, but he's not over the person. A person named Jody Montgomery is over the person. So, part of this is Britney Spears and her estate, they pay for everyone's legal fees involved besides her mother's. And her mother's lawyers filed a objection, I believe is the correct word, objecting to some of her father's legal counsel's billings, expenses, because they racked up in a matter of a few months, maybe 4 months, if I'm being generous, maybe six. See, I don't know. Like I said, not a journalist.
Less than a year.
$800,000, which there's three other law firms involved.
It's a couple dollar bills.
Yeah, so there's four law firms involved, I believe. So the other three combined in those months, the lawyer reviews was saying is less than what this one law firm had. And so one of the main objections was that one of the dad's lawyers have been going on a press tour explaining conservatorships and kind of defending the dad in the media, but the dad oversees the estate. And so basically the mom's lawyer's petition objection says, why is this benefiting my daughter's estate? By, like, one, this service is not approved by the courts, this PR run that this law firm is doing on behalf of the dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or on behalf of the estate. And number two, how is this serving my daughter? And number three, so wait, first, just how is this helping the conservatee, which is Britney Spears, right? How is it helping her to do that? Mm-hmm. And then, why are they kind of airing her out, for lack of a better term? They're doing the same media outlets, the same press tour that has been, like, abusive to the conservatee, Britney Spears. So it's like, why are we spending time? So she's paying for this, and how is it benefiting her? And explain. And they're hoping, I mean, I don't know what they're hoping, but the court, this lawyer said that the court could reject some of that fees.
Because that doesn't make any sense. So you're literally,
he's supposed to manage the money.
He's spending money for the estate, but really, this is making it sound like he's spending money on why he should be in control of the estate. But he's using the estate money to pay for
his reasons why he should.
If he was paying with his own money that stuff, then whatever. Like, hey, that's totally fine.
And listen up, Buttercups. it's, Britney shouldn't have to perform the rest of her life if she doesn't want to. Like, how much money she's made is enough for her to live off of. I mean, if you keep turning on the drain, how is she supposed to live? Like, this is how we hear about, you know, not totally the same, but, like, people who win the lottery that go broke, people who, professional athletes go broke, other huge stars going broke because there's some sort of drain. So
I just feel like every time I hear about Britney Spears, it's like some tabloid type thing. Like, I'm going, like, but it's like real life. Like, I feel like when I'm checking out the grocery store, you look over and it's like, that's totally, like, you're making that up just for a headline and you photoshopped the crap out of that person. But now I actually see what's really going on. I'm like, this I feel like you could slap on the front of a cheap, stupid magazine and it would actually be legit.
Yeah, so we will see. She's going to appear in front of the court June 23rd for the first time that I can recall, and it'd be interesting to hear what she has to say. And people always make fun of her Instagram because she talks in a really high-pitched voice and she's like rocking back and forth and she seems kind of nervous, but it's like, okay, I don't think people realize, like, when women, not women, but like people can be conditioned and anxious and their voices can kind of go up. Like, I did this all the time when I was a young kid, when I was anxious and feeling stuck and kind of like nervous, I would rock back and forth and all of a sudden it's like my voice would go like unrecognizably high. You know, even when I'm around people I don't really care for, my voice always goes high. And like, I don't know. I get the natural urge to change your voice. I do. Because I do it all the time. Not so much anymore, but like it still happens from time to time. Especially when I'm doing something I don't want to do or if I'm around people I don't like, I just can't control it. So the other thing is I've been listening a lot to just kind of like reviews of like super religious influencers just because I find the whole phenomenon of like social media interesting, and obviously it's a human compulsion. Because, like, we have a podcast, so, like, obviously, like, I am human and I feel the need to, like, assert myself in the universe other than my job or, like, you know what I mean? So, like, I get it. So, when I'm saying this, I'm not, like, criticizing people because, like, I'm the same way and I get the, like, urge to share things and stuff, but, it's just interesting the, like, religious YouTubers or religious, like, TikTokers and even, like, lifestyle people. And I just think that, like, what I notice is a common critique is, like, there's this very cultivated, manicured sense of relatability, you know? But it's, like, it's like the old critiques of like politicians that they're like, oh, they have their dog in their commercial to seem like they're a family person. You know what I mean? And it's like the same sort of thing. Like, I think that a lot of people online, while being vulnerable and relatable is how we connect as humans, I think it's interesting when people pair that with religion and gender roles and monetization, trying to make money. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like,
would you say it's kind of like when parties go against parties and they blame the other party when really it's just the government failing?
Well, I mean, no, that wasn't where I was going with it at all. But, like, I specifically have noticed there's, like, this movement of women online who are super religious, lean into the patriarchal, like, construct of what a biblical marriage is or what they say a biblical marriage is and the ideal way to live. So it's mm-hmm. like they're saying all this. It's just kind of funny because I feel like all these people, and I'm not going to say these names because, like, I just didn't find their... I mean, you could probably Google, like, religious influencers on YouTube, young women, and you can find what I'm talking about. It's like they say, I'm all about supporting women and everything they want to do, but, like, society uplifts this boss babe, and people, women are respected in the workforce, and if you choose to be a homemaker and a mother and a wife, you're looked down upon. I don't really think that. Like, I don't really, so being a working woman, I've worked in many industries, and, like, women leadership is not really, like, uplifted, you know? Not that it's not uplifted, but I have seen so many women who are in leadership positions being treated in ways that I know men wouldn't be treated.
Isn't it weird that I feel like that's kind of like a, like they're trying to flip the script?
Right, because, that's what I'm trying to say.
Think of like, there's tons of movies out there. Like, I can think of, I can't remember the names of any of them, but how many, like, romantic comedy, this woman, she's in her 30s, and she hasn't found a dude, and she's very successful with
her life. But she might be kind of grungy, or might be unattractive to men.
She's like, you know what? Now I'd like to start my family. And everyone's like, oh, well, I've been a homemaker since I was 18.
Well, the thing is, I'm not here to, like, disparage anyone else, but, see, I'm so glad you popped in on that, because I know so many professional women that are my age and older who, like, it's like either you aren't taken seriously, or, like, a lot of my friends, as soon as we graduated college, some of this is kind of changing, but a lot of my friends were like, oh, graduated college, got a job, I guess I gotta cut my hair, because, like, it makes you look more quote-unquote professional, which means, to me, less classically feminine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, less long hair, less alluring. And it's like, what else? I know so many women who have been harassed in the workplace. And, like, I don't know, we were hosting a bonfire pre-COVID, and it was years and years ago. And there was someone there who was like, just report them to human resources. And it's like, okay, there's layers to this, because one, that woman could really like that job. Depending where you live, there might not be a market for a different job. Number three, like, more than likely, whoever you're being harassed by, at least in the experiences that have been conveyed to me on a personal basis, is someone who's in a superior position and who probably makes the company or whatever organization might be in a leadership role, or might make the company a lot of money, might be like
or the HR manager's boss too.
Yeah. 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 One story is definitely coming to mind. So it's like, there's layers to it. It's like, yeah, you got to support yourself. We're all, like, most people I know are paying off at least a little bit of student debt, might have a small car note, might not, you know, might be saving up. But it's like, it's more complicated. And just because human resources processes exist doesn't mean that it's necessarily, one, the easiest thing to do, and two, doesn't mean it's going to come down in a favorable thing. And even if it does, I mean, there's a chance. I mean, there's like whistleblower backlash. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
cause so what? Something. If you don't end up losing your job, maybe you'll be ostracized within the company and people will treat you like a pariah.
There's a couple things that come to mind with that, and it kind of ties in, because originally when we were talking about movies that say, like, the woman that spent career, I was trying to think of the opposite, and really the only movie that came to my mind right away was that Dolly Parton movie that
we just watched, 9 to 5,
where someone came in. But then you look at that, the person that was being harassed
the whole time.
And the entire time, the whole office just thought that she was sleeping with the boss.
Yeah,
but she's
Dolly
like,
Parton's
no, he's been harassing me this whole time, and I haven't been.
And she can't help that she has blonde hair and big boobs, and she's pretty.
Yeah.
So people were saying, talking behind her back and being nasty, but it's like, that's not cool.
That does lead into...
So, wait, I'm
okay.
not
finished. And then I have a question that I want to ask you. Go ahead.
Okay, so all these channels, like you said, they flip the script. They're saying, oh, women are adored, and everybody says boss babe. And it's like, frankly, I think the term boss babe is a little degrading. Because really, you're just a boss. But it's like, you have to cutesy it up. And if a woman identifies as a boss babe, that's great. But like, you have to make it cute so it's okay for a woman to be a boss. Really? They're a CEO, not a she-EO. They're a CEO. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So the whole narrative that like those type of women are uplifted in society, not my personal experience at all, like in actual day-to-day life. And I don't really feel like the women who I know that's like my friends who are stay-at-home parents, I think they definitely feel tired at the end of the day because they haven't talked to an adult and they get that sort of like isolation feeling and they need to like, you know, purposely leave the house and have some friends or have someone to talk to on the phone that isn't their husband or kids.
Yeah,
like, I get
also,
that.
They're busy doing other stuff,
and
too.
And they're not, but those women aren't slamming career women. So it's like, it's really weird that these YouTube channels make stay-at-home moms to be the victim and that society hates them, whereas, like, I think being a stay-at-home mom sounds exceptionally hard. It's hard no matter what, if you want to have kids, if you want to be married. Whatever way you pick, it's gonna be challenging. So then that's their, like, platform when they're talking, but then they inject all this, like, God stuff into it, and I'm like, okay, I'm not sure how God got into this. Like, I don't understand. I don't. And maybe I need to read the Bible a little bit more. I know that's, like, a big criticism of Catholics, that we don't know scripture, but, like, I don't know. I just think, like, I don't know how God got into it, like how, and I also don't see how society really uplifts women who stay at home or who don't stay at home. So like, I don't understand why putting a video on YouTube or making a TikTok kind of dividing women helps the scenario at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So what are your thoughts about that?
So my thoughts is just going back, I feel like, I don't want to say to these people, to this, I've only watched like one person that kind of what you're talking about, but I don't want to say to their credit because it's not to their credit, but I'm trying to think of like in the pop culture, like where has like the stay-at-home person been praised, because I don't think that that's like what society has been saying recently in pop culture, but it's literally what everyone has been saying for forever.
Like,
so
growing
these
up,
people,
like
these
Leave It to
yeah.
Beaver, the old like
yeah.
sitcoms. But that made me think of something. Most people in America are divorced, so most people are single parents. And usually, if you're a single parent, regardless of the amount of spousal support or child support you're getting, usually you're doing some form of work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
like, maybe that's just, it's more reflected of the population. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I was, the person that you're,
I don't
that
really
you
know.
Were referring to, I think that they said something about how they wish that they could go back to the 1950s or whatever, where, like, everyone kind of had their place and everything. And it's like, do they really want to go back to the 1950s? Like, do they really know much about what was going on then?
I mean,
like, maybe
well,
they would have been just fine because, you know, they're a blonde, pretty bumpkin. Like,
bumpkin.
Whatever.
Don't call names. It's not nice. Well, were seatbelts in the 1950s? I don't know. These are the questions. Do you not want all the variety at the grocery store that we are blessed with these days? Mm-hmm. Like, do you really want to go back?
Do you want to be able to make money off of YouTube videos? Because that's how you're making all your income, because you're actually pretty popular there and you're making TikTok videos. So, hey, look at that. You're already making an income. Boss babe.
Yeah, so you're the person you're criticizing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's so confusing. And I'm not saying, like, you know, I do have some values where it's like,
she graduated from college. Do you think that she would have graduated from college when she was in the 1950s?
I mean, potentially.
Potentially, but
depending on how wealthy her parents were, or how, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. I'm not here to slam anybody's lifestyle, but I'm just really skeptical of, like, people using God and using that kind of victimization mentality to make money. And I think, like, I get it. Like, if, I mean, I don't know who it was I was talking to. I mean, if you can stay home for the first year of a kid's life, do you realize how much immune system you can build up? Like, how many, like,
how much healthier your whole family's gonna be because you're a little, like,
you get read into your kid really early. They more than likely will start talking really early. Like, mm-hmm. all these developmental milestones. You miss a flu season or two, and you have the baby at your house. Like,
you know for sure that that baby's going to catch everything and anything and bring it right home to you. And it's not like you can just shove them in their room and say, hey, come out when you feel better.
It's like you still got to change their diaper, mm-hmm. and, like, and then you end up getting sick, and you're
sicker,
like,
than them. They recover in 6 hours, and you're dead for 6 weeks.
I'll never forget, like, holding... There was an incident where I had to hold our kid and vomit into a toilet. You weren't home, but you know what? It happened, and on that cheerful note, we would like to take a pause from that lovely imagery to talk about something that does have lovely images of Michigan beaches, mymichiganbeach.com. You want to know about a beach in Michigan or something cool to do? Go to mymichiganbeach.com and check it out. Now back to the show.
Yep.
You know, and you do what you can. So if one parent can stay home for a year, fabulous. But you know what? That's not a financial reality for everyone. And it's not something that not everyone wants to be a stay-at-home parent. And that's okay, but yeah. I'm speaking for me, that would be awesome.
And
but
I'm thinking, like, for myself, like, I'm not even looking at this like, oh, like, I would have no problem, let's say that you were making, like, millions and or even enough for me to just stay at home. I still wouldn't, because I hate doing housework. And if I was staying at home, I'd have to do housework.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm about to have
I'm like,
him
man,
stay
I will go
home.
I will go, like, do anything to not have to do that.
But listen
all
here.
The time.
Listen, 10 listeners. I'm just, those words tempt me to be like, honey, why don't you request a leave of absence from work so you can clean our house for 3 months, and then maybe we'll be able to, like, not breathe dust and be disgusting human beings. Maybe. Perhaps.
Hey, that Roomba has worked Roomba. Had one. Stop. Wonders.
Oh.
I was trying to think of a different word for wonders.
But it's all right. I don't want to be overly judgmental and rude, or, like, I just think it's a really curious thing to come across as so authentic and so relatable. But it's like, are you that relatable? Because you're a YouTuber at home saying that you're not a boss babe, but you are a boss babe. And then talking about how God is mixed in with this and how you're a victim, but you're right. I don't know. Just the messaging is really confusing to
me. Yeah, I feel like the person that you're talking about, from what I've seen, they're not empowering as much as they are, what's the word? It's not empowerment that they're giving. It's more like they're giving like a reason why somebody should do what they're doing because it's suffering and
it's assuming that people, like for me, it's assuming that people who might think differently than them actually hate them. Like, I personally, I value making my own money. That journey might change or shift, but like, I look at a stay-at-home mom and I'm like, go you. You know what I mean? Or a stay-at-home dad, I'm like, yeah, that's really tough. Like, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think, in a way, it's like feeling kind of judged. Because it's like, how many people do you actually talk to that work, are working mothers? You know what I mean? Because, like, the working mothers I know don't hate stay-at-home mothers. So, I mean, I could be wrong, but who really hates you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't get it. It's super confusing, and it's making my brain kind of tired, and I don't think I can talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I think I'll probably need another drink, because I finished this one.
So, is this Holyrood Stout the traditional, historical Scottish Stout from Grizzly Peak Brewing Company in Ann Arbor? Is this approved?
Yeah, I'd say it's approved. It doesn't, so the first taste of it and everything, it's not, it doesn't have any overpowering taste, like a lot of stouts have, where it kind of, like, sets the tone, like, okay, this is the taste that I'm having. It's just a really good, solid beer. Easy to drink. It doesn't, I mean, I kind of wish that we poured it out so that I could have actually seen the color. I drank it straight out of the can. It doesn't seem like it's as dark of a stout. I really don't think it's that dark. So I'm saying if you're not so much of a dark beer drinker, but you like having kind of a little bit of a more full-bodied beer, this might be the one for you. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have another one.
Yeah, that's exciting. I enjoy it too. So it looks like the Lions picked a Levi Anawuzurki. Okay, that is an African name that I just butchered.
They're out of Washington. They're a defensive tackle. And it's not the guy that I was looking at. And the guy that I'm looking at, I don't even know where he's graded to go.
I don't want to be weird, but this guy, like, has a really good, like, face. Like, yeah, he kind of has a model at, like, why is he, like, posing like a model?
I mean, it's a head-on picture.
I know, but they can look goofy.
Yeah, it's normally, you get a head-on picture of me, and it's like, what the hell is going on with his nose?
Screenshot that. We'll have to post it to the Instagram, because I think he's very photogenic. Yeah. Levi. Or is it Levi? Like, say Levi.
He has a symmetrical face.
Yeah, he does. Is a perfectly symmetrical face, and he is, like, looking straight on. So whenever I look straight on, my lazy eye pops out. So I always kind of cheat it a little bit. I can't look straight on in photos.
Yeah.
But he does not have a lazy eye.
I mean, you see every break in my nose when I look straight on to a
picture.
But he's a big, athletic interior defender with outstanding first-step quickness and hand skills. So, I actually looked at him before, and I am not disappointed at all. I hope that they end up being able to get a linebacker here in the next rounds, but this is the big key for this regime with the Lions. The Lions, yeah, they've hit on a couple first-round pickups, but their second, third, and fourth round draft picks over the last, like, decade have been nothing but trash. So I'm really hoping that with this next GM that has come in, him being coming from a great scouting background, is able to get the scouts to actually look at somebody past the first round. That would be beautiful.
Okay, so this is a part of the podcast where we voice our gratitude for one another, because it's very important to say it out loud, even though you might think it. So I will go first this week. Like, Patrick, I'm very grateful for you because I was really sour today and I was having a hard past couple of days. But, you know, I was able to, like, express myself in a very calm way. We had lunch in the pickup truck today and we talked about how I was feeling. And that was really nice. And then, like, even recording the podcast, like, I was yelling at Patrick before this. Because, like, I was just annoyed. I wasn't even yelling at you for anything. Like, I don't even know what I was saying. But, like, again,
I'm just kind of saying you're tired.
Because I am. Yeah. But, like, you know what? Doing this podcast together brings me joy. And I feel a lot more levity right now. And, like, I really appreciate you hanging in there, listening to me, not trying to fix the situation, but just kind of hanging tight. And then here I am, beautiful mood. Yeah, I'm in a beautiful mood right now. That sounds like nude. Mood. I am in a great mood right now. So thank you for that, Patrick.
You are wearing clothes.
Thank you.
So, what I'm thankful for you is, I was going to just say, you kind of touched on it a little bit. I just really had a lot of fun recording this podcast with you.
I did too. Yeah. I was, like, really not vibing it, but we got there.
Yeah, because, we started off and you were just like, I'm tired. And I don't like you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're just tired. Like, stop talking to me. And then
we
hit record and we're just like, hey, we're friends and we like each other. So I hope that continues for the rest of the night.
Talk about curated authenticity for you, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I am the person I'm criticizing because I am a human and I am full of contradiction.
But I had a lot of fun with this podcast.
I did
and
too.
I've had a lot of fun with just hanging out with you this week. So.
Yeah, the sun is shining now, so I'm going to end this with I love you, goodbye.
Love you, goodbye.
Hey, everybody. We post new episodes of our podcast, Stouts with My Spouse, every Saturday morning. Available on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Spotify. Follow Stouts with My Spouse on Instagram and like our Facebook page. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Until next week.